T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, one day away from opening day. Actually, it is opening day around baseball. Phillies, though, tomorrow against the Atlanta Braves at 3:05. We can't wait. Join us tomorrow. We've got Chickies and Pete's for the show, getting you set up for game day. Midday Show at Chickies tomorrow for Phillies opening day. A year of a lot of promise, hope, optimism to go win a championship after what's happened in the last 2 years. Kevin Stocker, you've heard him a lot on WIP, calling Phillies games alongside Scott Fransky. He'll be back doing it again this year. He joins us right now to talk about the 2024 Phillies. Kevin, how you doing today?
Kev.
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Pretty good, pretty good. Kev, my question to you is, what was opening day like for you when the season started? What was some of the feelings that you had?
Well, I mean, tons of butterflies. I mean, it's always first of all, you know, okay, coming in, you're going to win every game. That's how you feel, right? You're like, all right, we're going to win every game. You're so optimistic about the season. Tons of butterflies. You really want, personally, you want to get the first hit out of the way. All these little milestones. It's funny because opening day is so special, and literally the next day, or maybe after the first series, you settle down. You get your emotions kind of caught up with you. You're able to slow down, take a breath, because the season is so dang long. But on that first day, it doesn't feel like that.
Kevin, it's been an interesting spring training with the Phillies. Not too many new faces, Whit Merrifield one of them, but it's really basically the same team they've gotten very close to winning a championship with the last 2 years. But I feel there's like a focus, a different kind of locked in that I've sensed talking to some of the guys when we were down there and just watching and listening to them. Have you noticed something similar? What's your take on what you saw and heard from spring training this year?
Oh, I think that's a fair statement, is that I do think that they're focused. One of the benefits I think that you get when you have a group of guys that have been together like this that come back, you know, year after year or even from last year, they're comfortable with each other. They're super comfortable with their manager and how he's going to manage so they can predict what he's going to do. There's a great comfort in that. So in saying that, yes, they're very focused. They know what they have to do to be ready. You know, spring training is tough. Spring training is just so long now. It's amazing how long it is. But with the veteran guys, they're able to get ready. So I just think that these guys are, you know, they're excited about their team. I know in the offseason it didn't seem like there were a lot of moves made by the Phillies, but in reality they signed two of the top pitchers in baseball. Now, Wheeler, of course, took a little longer, but, I mean, think about those guys are back with this team, how excited they are. So I think the guys are pumped. They're ready to go.
What kind of season are you expecting Trey Turner to have?
Trey Turner, right. Yeah, that's a great question. I think Trey is ready. All I can speak to with Trey is what I saw in spring training. Mm-hmm. So I can tell you in spring training, he came in excited. He was super relaxed, whereas last year with the WBC kind of got in the way of everything, he was still trying to get to know a lot of the guys. It's no excuse how he played the beginning of last year, but he's in shape. He's been working his tail off. All of those things, I think when I look at him, I'm like, they're all great signs that he's going to have a great year. I do think defensively last year, when you start to look at that, I know it's been kind of a conversation with him. He's better defensively than what he showed last year in Philadelphia, no doubt about it. But when you struggle like that, like he did out of the gate, and he had never struggled like that before, and you know, Hugh, your focus tends to go. He just worked so hard on his hitting for the mm-hmm. first 2 or 3 months, so focused. It took a little bit away from that defensive side. And that's basically when you talk about taking your offense out to the defensive side, that's kind of what it is. And as a player, you don't even know that's happening. So he was able to kind of rally that focus back in, certainly with the fans' help. But I think he's going to come out much better prepared this year.
Kevin, let's talk about the opposite kind of player, one that we can count on the defense. There's no questions about it, but the offense is a major concern, and we don't know, and that's Johan Rojas. Kevin, the Phillies made the decision to bring him aboard. He's likely going to start a lot of these games early in center field. What do you think about Rojas, the decision to bring him on the team, and the ability for the Phillies to play him, even if he's not hitting much at all?
Well, it's a good question. It's a little bit of a I don't know the right word for it, but they're taking a chance, right? I think they believe enough in him that he's going to be able to figure out the offensive side of it. I will say this. I think somebody asked me, this might have been a week ago in another interview, I can't remember, but somebody asked me, how do the Phillies get over that hump at the end of the year? And I look at this and I'm like, for me, it was a lot of the outfield defense. This team, the Phillies team, with Johan in center, moving Kyle to more of the DH role, not only does it help having Marsh out in the outfield, it helps Kyle get off his legs a little bit to keep him strong and healthy. I think this team picks up 8 to 10 wins because of just that. Now, in saying that offensively with Johan, I think he's going to figure it out. He's got tremendous speed. So speed in itself is a weapon. Once he learns how to bunt and use the speed, that'll help him. If he needs to get a base hit or just get himself out of a slump, he can always use that speed. Is he going to have to hit? I think he's also one of those guys like, look, I'm a baseball player. This is what I do. I can hit. Everybody else doesn't think I can hit, but I can hit. And you know what, guys? I can relate to that because when I came up, you know, Boa was sticking his finger in my chest saying, don't worry about hitting, just catch the ball. You know, he was sitting there poking me. And it just relaxed me. And I think he's got enough studs in front of him. If he can just settle into the nine spot, I still expect him, I would love to see him hit 250, something like that, 255. Why not? Then I think he really helps this team defensively in center. Absolutely.
We're talking to Kevin Stocker as we get ready for opening day. Phillies Braves tomorrow. Kevin, what's your feeling on the division and how important it is for the Phillies to win? Last 2 years, they haven't won it. It hasn't mattered. They've gotten further than the Atlanta Braves. But, Kevin, I look at it and say, is that going to keep happening? Like, are the wild card teams going to keep getting all the way to the World Series, or eventually is it going to help to have that bye and have to win less games? What's your thought on pushing for the division and how much that's worth?
Well, I'm a huge fan of pushing for the division. I can't stand, I mean, I played back in the day when the wild card first came in, and it almost seemed like there was this push to play for second place. And I never understood that. I'm like, wait a minute. Now, the Phillies have an owner who does not do that. He wants to win, and I just love that. And it feeds off on the players. These guys are sick of the Braves winning. So, yes, they are pushing for the division, winning that division. I believe in the bye. I don't know why everybody's losing. I don't know what's wrong with them, whether it's coaching. They haven't figured out the formula to sit off, you know, 5 or 6 days. But I think that helps your team to get everybody healthy. Can the Phillies push for it? Yes. Is it going to be an uphill climb? You better believe it. I think the Braves are loaded once again. I don't see them really slowing down offensively a whole lot, unless there's some sort of an injury to one of their big guys. Clearly, they have a couple of pitchers that are a little older. But I think they're going to be tough to catch. It's going to be getting off to a quick start. That's going to help the Phillies. They don't want to get themselves into a hole out of the gate. But I absolutely think they're going to compete for that division title.
So it sounds like you believe the gap is going to be closed this year. Because, Kevin, 14 games is a massive gap in the two teams in the regular season. But when you watch them, especially in the playoffs, it doesn't feel like there's a 14-game gap between these two rosters.
Well, no, but, you know, divide that season up into different seasons, right? So you have spring training. And then you have the regular season and then playoffs. It's a whole different animal. That's why when you talk to the guys, even when we played, we did everything we could to win the division and make sure we get in the playoffs. And then once you're in that playoffs, all holds barred. I mean, everything is off the table at that point. You just got to come out and be a gamer and be a baseball player. So I just think the Phillies are, one, their veteran team and they're close-knit. You talk about chemistry. They pull for each other. When they get to the end of the season, when games are really start to hype up, they're able to slow it down and really pull for each other. And I think that's why they're able to kind of handle the Braves or have over the last couple of years late in the season. But, yeah, I think it's just going to be awesome. I just, like I said, the 14 games you're talking about, that's a lot to overcome. But I think it's something that the Phillies can do if they can get out of the box. Just don't get into a huge hole.
We're talking to Kevin Stocker. Kevin, you know, there's a lot of stars in this team, and we can kind of predict what they're going to do if they're healthy with Bryce and Schwarber and those guys. How about some of the younger guys? If you had to pick one of them to take the next step in their career, who would you pick? Stott, Bohm, Marsh, Ranger? If you had to pick one of those guys, and they're all in that age now where it might happen, who do you think might take one more jump in the production that they've given so far?
Man, you're giving me just one. How about if I just get, I'm going to give you two, because one, I'm going to say Ranger as a pitcher. I'm going to divide them up. So I think Ranger is key for this team, right? So he's healthy. He's throwing really well. He looks fit and excited. The other thing about Ranger that maybe people don't see is when he's on the mound, he's super competitive. He's kind of like, you know, when I know everybody knows John Kruk and he's silly and he's great and he's fun and all that kind of stuff. But I don't know that I played with anybody more intense between the chalk lines than John Kruk. But off the field, the guy was a goofball, still is, right? Ranger is a guy that when he takes the ball, he wants the ball. He just hasn't been able to get it consistently due to either injury or some other issues. I think if he stays on that mound, he's a big key for this team. I think he's going to make a big jump. And I really think Alec Bohm is ready. He's improved every year at third base. I love the fact that Harper's over first so that Alec now can get all the reps, or at least most of the reps, at third. That'll make him a better third baseman. He can settle in. It becomes predictive for him, and he'll start to learn how to pull that ball in the air a little bit. And those 20 home runs he had last year will be 25, and then hopefully it just continues from there.
Great stuff. Kevin, we appreciate you hopping on. Excited to hear you this season, and it should be a really fun year down at Citizens Bank Park. Thank you, Kevin.
You bet, guys.
There he goes. Kevin Stocker with us there. So he's going with Bohm. It makes the big leap this year. I mean, Hugh, last week when we talked to him, he sounded like we asked about the home runs. He didn't seem like it was something he's going to try for. But, I mean, he realizes, like, I think it's a thing where because you look at Alec Bohm and you think a lot of home runs, he probably thinks he probably should hit more. He did hit 20 last year. If he can get to 25, I'll take that.
Yeah, no problem with that, man. And what did he say, Joe? They're thrown. Not hit. They're not
home
hit.
Runs.
They're thrown. Home
basically
runs.
Basically, crush the mistakes.
Yeah, I think he's trying to. When we heard him talk, I heard a young man that was just trying to be comfortable in his own skin. You know, because we kind of mentioned the fact that, you know, him being here and what he said in outfield that one time, we don't have to bring up. I think he's just trying to find his comfort zone right now.
Well, hopefully he finds it because he's a big piece, part of this thing. 215-592-9494. Do we have the official Phillies roster here? Is it set? I believe it is. The Phillies have set their roster here. Kyle, so I guess they made a couple moves towards the IL. Kirkering to the IL to start the season. Taiwan Walker on the IL as well. Dylan Covey on the IL. One interesting thing before we get to the guys on the roster. Did you see what they listed as Kirkering's reason to be on the injured list?
What was it?
Well, so we were told the last few weeks that he had the flu and he was kind of behind. He lost some weight. He lost some strength.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so the official designation of Orion Kirkering on the injured list is a right forearm strain. That's not what we were told as far as a few days ago. That was it was just like, oh, he had the flu. He's behind. So that's something to definitely keep an eye on. Is he injured or is he just behind? So that one caught my attention, but all right, Kyle, what do we have here? So catchers, Real Muto and Stubbs.
Real Muto and Stubbsy.
Who we got in the infield?
Bohm, Harper, Sosa, Stott, and Turner.
Okay, outfielders.
No surprises there. Casty, Marsh, Pache, and Rojas both made the roster.
How about my guy Witt? Where's
Witt there? Is in as a utility guy.
Okay, and Schwarbs?
Schwarbs is the DH, obviously.
I like that they now list him as DH.
just to appease everybody.
All right, how about the, so we got 13-person pitching staff?
Yes. So Jose, Sanchez, Soto, Strom, Suarez as the lefties. And then Brogdon made the roster. Dominguez, Jeff Hoffman, Marte, Nola, Luis Ortiz, Turnbull, and Zach Wheeler as the righties.
So Spencer Turnbull's in the Taiwan Walker spot.
Yep.
And it looks to me like Brogdon is on this team because Kirkering's not ready.
Yes.
Because I thought we were kind of done with Brogdon, but he's
back. Yeah, he had some promise, but didn't really, you know, never really truly lived up to it.
Yeah, he got some big outs in the World Series 2 years ago. He really did. So Brogdon on the opening day roster. So there it is. And I would just keep an eye on that Kirkering thing. That's a little bit bizarre.
Worrisome. I didn't notice that.
I just don't get it. Like, has he been nursing an injury and they've made believe
it
was
the flu?
Wait
a minute. It was the flu and then it was an elbow.
So what they said for a few weeks is his velocity was down. He was behind because apparently the flu went around the clubhouse, right? So they said it got him pretty bad and he had to take some time off. And then they said he was behind. But now on the actual designation of the injured list, you know, starting today, they listed him as a right forearm strain. That sounds like an injury, Hugh, not the flu.
Well, maybe he had the flu. I'm just speculating. I'm speculating.
Reckless?
Yeah, he had the flu, and then he was, he got healthy, and then he started trying to ramp up, and then he hurt his elbow.
That's very possible.
Speculating.
Yeah, it's just the first time we've heard anything about his arm.
Yeah,
so that one, that's got my attention because I think they need him in the bullpen. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phone lines here. We got Mike in Mullica Hill. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys, taking my call. And Hugh, welcome back to Philadelphia, dude. I missed you, man, when you left the morning show.
Appreciate you. I'm glad to be back. Ain't too happy about these gas stations that charge for air, though, but Outside of that, I'm pretty good.
Get to Wawa, Hugh.
Hugh's been back for a year now. When do the welcome backs stop?
It's like a happy new year. Yeah, you could. Never. Well, I mean, Hugh will accept them forever.
Never.
The first time I got through, guys.
There you go.
Give me a break.
Yeah. Mike just wants to say hi to Hugh. I mean, give the guy a break. All right, go ahead, Mike. What do you got?
All right, so yeah, I agree with Kyle. They're going to hit 100 this year. 100 wins. They're much better with everybody healthy than they were last year, and I don't worry so much about the pitching like everybody else does unless somebody gets hurt, because we have a really good pitching staff if they do their job. The key is they do their job, and the bats got to stay alive when they need to be alive.
Well, you they do, and they. You know what? The one thing that killed them at the end last year, right, is they just, and not all the guys, but guys like Turner and Castellanos, they just swing at too many bad pitches. They just need to, if they can harness that and just in those big moments not chase, they're going to be just fine.
Yeah, no more golfing. Yeah, the discipline's got to be there. Golfing is when you're done.
You golf
for
the off season.
To be done
right.
Until November.
No, you're right about that. We don't need the golfing in late October. Let's do that in late November. All right, Mike, give us a guess for Hugh's clues. Who is the Phillies player?
I really hope it wasn't said already. I'm going to say Roy Halladay.
It was said, Mike. It is a good guess. I was surprised at how good of a guess it was, because when we went through this and I was thinking about who would be guests and who the possible answers. I didn't even think about Roy Halladay.
Me neither.
But it's a great guess. Norman is up next on WIP. Hey, Norman.
Norman.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on?
Hey, Norman.
Hey, I'm actually a first-time caller, but I've been a lifelong Philly fan from South Jersey. So, yeah, I want to say hi to Hugh Douglas. I've been a big fan of his ever since he was on the Eagles back in the Manap era.
You should welcome him back to Philly, too.
Well, thank you. Thank you for welcoming me back to Philly.
Hugh, welcome back.
Thank you. Well, technically it applies because I ain't found a place yet. So
yeah,
I'm technically.
What do you think? I mean, Norman, what do you think about this? This guy's
We ain't got to ask Norman.
I want to hear Norman's take on this. Norman, this guy's been back over a year, so doesn't have a place to live yet. We got to help him out.
You haven't found a house?
No.
Norman, it ain't that funny.
No, I'm sorry. Well,
it's kind of funny. It's okay. You can laugh.
Well, Hugh, I do have a real estate license. So if you are looking, let me know.
I ain't trying to go to Jersey, though, Joe.
Well, I mean, but Norman can help you out.
Yeah, I ain't trying to go to Jersey. All
right, New Jersey, man.
I used to live in Jersey.
First of all,
I
didn't leave in Jersey. My first year here in Philadelphia. I don't feel like paying that toll every day, man. I don't feel like doing.
You know what?
That's fair,
Norman. I believe this. Hugh's not one to throw money away.
Philly's. Philly's looking good this year, I think. First time the coach has no adversities facing with injuries to Harper, and Hoskins went out last year with an ACL, I think it was. So I think it's looking pretty good. I think about 99 wins, I think.
I like it, 99. If they're at 99, they could certainly be at 100. I like that number, Norman. Norman, give us a guess for Hugh's clues. Who are we talking about?
How about Pat the Bat Burrell?
Norman, you're going to the game on Saturday. Good job, Norman. Yes, you hit it. Pat the Bat. Norman, good stuff. So, Norman saw through your clue there, as some of our callers have so far. Yes, Pat Burrell, of course, was the number one overall pick to the Phillies in 1998, but he was originally drafted by the Red Sox in 1995.
Yeah. And I remember Pat, man. Pat was a good player here. I remember Pat because his name used to be echoed in the Philly streets quite a bit.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah,
not
Pat,
all that.
Pat enjoyed being in the city.
Yeah, he did. Pat was a good player.
Yes, he was.
It's an interesting career because, if a player is drafted number one overall, and I say to you, they never made an All-Star game, you would probably say, they probably were a bust, right? I don't think he was a bust.
I think he was a good player.
He was a good player. He was not a great player, but he was a good one. And, he kind of bridged that gap before Howard and Rollins and Utley really got going. He was first. I mean, first it was Roland, but then he was traded eventually. But Pat Burrell was one of those first guys that came up and started to help turn the tide a little bit.
What is Pat doing now?
He is in the Giants organization, because he ended with the Giants. Mm-hmm. I think he's... I don't know, like a hitting coach or a hitting instructor.
That's not bad.
Yeah, he's working in baseball, I think, with the San Francisco Giants, where he ended his career. Yeah, so Pat Burrell is, and then Pat the Bat, of course, is the nickname. Pat the Bat. Yeah. It was a good nickname. So our last call there won the tickets. He mentioned something that we haven't even brought up about the Phillies and all this optimism. This is Topper's first full normal year. Hugh, he took over in June of 2022.
Yeah.
So last year was his first full season. But again, they had the Bryce Harper injury. They had the World Baseball Classic, which did seemingly throw some stuff off. And they had the Turner stuff they had to deal with, which was just, you know, it was choppy. Let's just put it that way. This kind of feels like the first normal year for Rob Thompson managing the team, because last year was his first one, full one, a little bit different. He's settled in now as a manager, so that could help too.
Yeah, and the team is one year older. I know for some people that might not be as comforting as I think it is, but you know each other a little bit more. Continuity is a factor. You don't have to deal with, I think Rhea talked about when you talk about Ranger visas or anything like that might potentially, you know, slow somebody down. So I think that says a lot about somebody, man. I think it says a lot about your team when you have a chance to be a little bit more cohesive than you were the year before.
Yeah, and look, we look at Topper, and he's obviously not a young manager. You know, he's in his 60s, but he's in his career. He's still a young manager. You know, I mean, like, he's only managed in the big leagues for less than two full years. So I don't think we look at Topper as someone that could get better, because you think a manager at his age, right, he's not 38, he didn't get hired young. Usually those guys are like, oh, they'll get smarter and smarter. Topper could be a better manager. He just has more experience. I think back to Snicker down in Atlanta.
Same thing.
Very similar story. And what, did he get the job in 18? 20, I think he got the job in 18.
That sounds about right.
And then they didn't win the World Series till 21. So like it took
18. Yeah, that sounds about right.
About around that time, and they were good, right? He was a good manager, but you know, about 2021 is when it clicked, and they won the World Series.
And they really like there's a lot of parallels between, like, since you bring it up, between Snit and Topper, as far as like the guys really like him, the fact that, you know, he got the job the way that he did. You know, they recruited from within. You know, signed somebody from within. And it does take some time, man. But the biggest thing that I remember about when Snit got the job and when people were talking about it was the guys trusted him.
Mm-hmm.
They trusted the moves that he made. And it feels like that's the same thing with Topper. And for baseball, that's a big deal. The fact that you can trust the manager and the moves that he's making, outside of Taiwan, who didn't kind of trust the moves he made in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, Taiwan's got to pipe down about all that. So, but yeah, and I think with both their stories, which is interesting, I don't think either of them at that point ever expected to be a manager. They were a little older.
Yeah, a little older. Didn't think they were going to get the nod, and they finally did.
And it worked. I mean, obviously, it worked for both teams. I mean, the Braves have been the best team in the division for a long time, and Topper's done a really good job here with the Phillies since he took over. 215-592-9494. All right, win predictions for the Phillies. I got to say, as we've gone through this show, people are closer to that 100 number than I anticipated, right? I mean, most of our responses so far, most people are in the upper 90s. You know, if I had to average it out, I would say people are around like 98, 99.
Not bad.
Is that a good thing? Usually when
That's
the entire
optimism.
City bands together in optimism, we know how it goes.
You're saying like we're a little.
Well, remember the Super Bowl against the Chiefs pessimist. When it was like, we're going to blow them out 40-10.
Yeah. Well, that made shivers down my spine.
For the record, I never said they were going to blow them out. I said they would win. Didn't say it was going to be a
blow. I was with you. I mean, also, but that was like, who's going to blow out Patrick Mahomes? That was crazy.
The fan base thought we would.
I said it was crazy.
Well, who knows if we look back on this and be like, why would we ever think the Phillies are going to win?
Yeah, I mean, I hear you on that. But there's reason to believe it.
Of course you're saying
100.
I am saying 100.
I feel like as a fan, more so a fan now than as a former player, you should never have to defend your fandom. You should never have. Like, regardless, you could say 162 wins, which sounds crazy. But if that's what you want to go with, go with it.
I'm just saying, and I am very optimistic on the Phillies. But, like, there's a chance. There is a slight chance, guys,
that
this team's a little too old.
Well, with that,
They're not there yet.
They're not there yet, but
they're trending in that direction.
They are. I hope, and I think there is a sense of urgency in that clubhouse.
Old people are cool.
Well, they're not really.
Not in baseball.
Not in sports. No, they're not. Maybe in real life.
In life,
it all depends. There's a couple cool older guys.
I met a lot of jerks that are old. So.
LeBron James?
No.
He's cool.
LeBron is a loser.
As a player, he's cool.
Wait a minute, he's a loser?
Yes. LeBron is one of the biggest frauds on the planet. Guys, what are you talking about?
I did not.
I know this guy. Well, you know, he's just I know what this is. He's just throwing it out there. So when the Sixers pursue him this summer,
no.
He's gonna be all anti-LeBron.
Have you ever heard LeBron speak?
He's corny.
He's
a fraud.
He's a massive fraud.
But he's an unbelievable
talent,
championship player.
That doesn't make him cool. We're talking about if he's cool. Right, he's not cool.
Pretty cool.
He's the opposite of cool.
I didn't know.
He's still cool as a player.
I didn't know that statement was going to trigger
you did trigger it.
Bottom line is, I mean, Kyle brings up a fair point, right? Older teams can fall off. I do not think it's going to happen to this year's Phillies team. I do think, however, they should have a sense of urgency because I don't think this window is wide open. Like, they got to get this thing done now. 215-592-9494. If we'll get to your win predictions for the Phillies, the number, 100. Do you believe the Phillies are a 100-win team? You can also welcome Hugh back to Philly as well if you want to do that. Plus, how do we interpret this tweet by D-Gun about Hassan Reddick? A new layer to the Reddick situation. He's still here. Will he be for long? 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome back, Hugh, to Philadelphia.
Hey, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
We're all happy to have you. Haven't seen you every day for the last 13 months. Welcome back. All right, lots to do here on the show today. We had a caller a little while ago, and I get it. He hadn't had a chance to speak to you. I mean, I think that was it. We got to give that caller a little bit.
No.
Little bit of a break.
There's a statute of limit. I was taught. Took some polling out there.
I saw you.
In the hallway.
Kyle was walking up and down the hall, was polling this question.
It was Scalish, who was a smart man, our engineer here. I said, what do you think about the idea of welcoming somebody back after a year of the return? He said, absolutely not. It's like,
but what if you haven't seen them?
Doesn't matter. There's a statute of limitations, Joe. So once you cross that, I haven't seen you since, New Year's? And if it's February, that's too bad. I can't wish you a happy New Year.
The New Year's one is worse.
It is, but that's what a statute of limitations is.
Yeah, I think this one's a little bit different.
Well, I'm putting my foot down, banning it from the show.
Again.
If I hear it, I'm dumping it.
As Hugh stated, though, he still doesn't have a place to live. Is he really back?
We're not welcoming Hugh home.
I don't have an address, technically.
How do you get mail?
I get Amazon. I haven't seen, mail. My mail has been forwarded to my ex's home in Atlanta. So, but technically, I'm off the grid. technically, I'm off the grid, man.
Well, no, you're not. Seriously. You get mail here at the station every day.
Well, that's different because they know I got to come here to the station every day.
You know who's going to start sending you mail here?
Who is that?
Bills.
Yeah, bills.
They're going to start coming here.
I mean, I don't have any bill. I'm just off the grid. I can't do anything that, normal people do.
I like that you say you're off the grid as you're speaking to thousands of people
every day. But I'm technically, seriously, air quotes, off the grid. Don't have an address. Just kind of here in the city.
Floating around.
Just hanging out. That's what I'm doing.
Well, maybe we'll be able to use the welcome back music for Hassan Reddick. How about this tweet here yesterday from Derek Gunn? All right, let's go through this. Want to do some reckless speculation?
Speculation.
Well, yeah, whatever you call it. Oh, here we go. Yesterday, D. Gunn tweeted, Eagles are still deciding on what to do about the Hassan Reddick situation. He still wants more money than the Eagles are willing to pay. As of now, if he were to return to the Eagles, he would play for what his contract currently states. All right, Hugh, what do you make of the N most specifically? Because the N can be interpreted one of two ways. It is, you could interpret it as he wouldn't hold out, right? If he comes back, he'll play for his contract. Or you could interpret it as the Eagles aren't giving him a dollar more. Like, if he's coming back, this is it.
You know what, initially, I'm going to tell you exactly what I thought. There was a, take the money, fool. Just take the money. Like, I forgot what movie it came from, but the guy was sitting there with his wife, and the guy offered her some money for something. He was like, just take the money, fool. $15 million is nothing to sneeze at. We've already discussed this a few times. And if you're in a situation where you're in a no-win situation, sometimes you got to put your pride in your pocket, you know. And I don't know. It sounds like Hassan Reddick is that type of guy that it's going to be, you know, you're still winning because you're making $15 million. Unfortunately, you're not going to make, you know, get the extra money or get the pay raise that you wanted. But you're still in a good position as an older player to try to get that $15 million and then figure it out from there. Because you got to do that, man. I've never been the type that if I was put in that position to hold out that I think I would have. So that for me was never an option. Never was an option.
Yeah, a Hugh Douglas holdout would have been a big WIP topic back then. I mean, that would have been a – could you imagine Angelo screaming about this? Cut him! Cut him!
Yeah, Angelo would have
Get rid upset. Of him. Here's how I took it and interpreted it. I took it and interpreted it as they're not giving him a bump. Like, I took it as – this is it. This is your money. This is your $15 million. You're not getting a bump. You are playing for this. I don't think the Eagles are giving him even a little bit of a bump. It's here's the money, and if we don't find a trade partner, we're going to force you to play for your contract. Otherwise, that's it.
Yeah, that's what it kind of feels like. This has been trending in this direction. It sounds like, you know, initially they were trying to find something compensated for you and allow you to get as much money as you possibly could. Doesn't sound like that has been the case. So now you're in a position where, you know, what do you want to do? And I think he wants to stay here, but I don't think he wants to stay here for the money that he's not going to get. But you really have no choice because the market has dictated what your worth is to a certain extent. It really has.
At some point, the question is going to be, if he's not happy, are the Eagles okay bringing back an unhappy player? I mean, obviously, he's a good player, and I think we all want him on the team. But, Hugh, that's going to become the question. Are they going to want a guy that may show up, but he's unhappy, especially as they try to rebuild their culture, which was an issue last year? I'm not saying it was all his fault, but their culture was an issue. Do you bring back a player who's clearly not going to be thrilled?
I don't think he's a culture killer, if that's what you're asking me. If you're asking me
– well, is it a risk to bring him back if he's not happy?
I would say from what I think I know about Hassan Reddick, no. No, I don't think it would be.
I think it'd be a little bit of a risk. I do. I mean, I'd be willing to take the risk because I want to keep him on the team. But he was not.
I think he was being a locker room lawyer.
I think he was disgruntled. I mean, you saw it in training camp last year. Remember, he did that kind of, he stood around and did a press conference, not a press conference, but he talked to the media and said, you know what's going on. Like, he's been upset about this contract for a year.
It's one thing to be disgruntled. It's another thing to be disruptive. And if he can be disgruntled, but long as he's not being disruptive, I think that's a nice little trade-off, you know, especially if you're talking about having a guy out there, because we talked about it for the last couple weeks, double-digit sack guy, mm-hmm. along with Bryce Huff and all the other young guys that you're going to be working in. Now, the thing of it is this. How are you – because I think that with Hassan Reddick being a little bit older and the fact that there might be some – you know, disappointment in the way that his contract situation went, how would you handle his playing time? Would he still be a starter for you, or would he be a part-time player?
So that's an important question because let's play it out. Let's say they don't adjust his contract. They don't find a trade partner. Hugh, they bring him back, and he, you know, I guess he grins and bears it, right? All right, fine. I'll come play. Mm-hmm. You know what he's playing for. He's playing for his next contract next year, right? He'd be a free agent after the season. So, Hugh, you just brought up the idea, like, is he a full-time player? You think he's going to be happy if third down and 10, it's Huff on the field and Nolan Smith and he's standing there? He can't get a sack on the sidelines. He can't increase his value by not playing. That would concern me. If he's worried about his next contract and then all of a sudden he's not playing as much, he might be like, hey, I got to get on the field.
But, you know, I see a scenario where potentially all those guys could be on the field at the same time. Can't block everybody, Joe. Now, it all depends on how comfortable you are with putting him, or how comfortable he is, or how he feels about his skill set being inside or being in a wide technique where, you know, you have him, Nolan Smith,
Bryce Huff.
Maybe Jalen Carter, Bryce Huff, Sweat on the field.
It's like those are your five rushers on a third down. Yeah, you could do it.
Because I'm trying to figure out, like, without having a piece of paper in front of me, like, have Jalen Carter at nose, probably have Josh Sweat at one D tackle. Well, yeah, like run a 5-2 defense kind of situation, and have maybe Hassan at one, and just line them up out wide in the gaps and just get after it that way. That could be potentially a nightmare.
Well, that'd be tough to block for sure.
Definitely be tough to block. So yeah, I can see a scenario where that they can have those guys on the field at the same time.
I don't think they're going to give him a boost in money. I mean, that's to Kyle. That was my takeaway from the Derek Gunn tweet that if he's back, your contract is your contract.
I didn't know how to read that last sentence. I'm wondering if it means that there's not going to be a new offer, or that he, like, is he saying from Reddick's perspective he will play under whatever his contract is, like he won't hold out. That's sort of how I interpreted it.
Well, I hope your way is the right way.
I just don't understand how a guy his age, with his value not seemingly very high in the league at all, there's no way for his value to raise sitting out a year. Like,
oh,
his value is going to decline. That would be a dumb move for him to hold out.
Le'Veon Bell.
He's going to lose money. Like, his best option is to, well, first of all, if he plays on a contract year, his value can increase.
If he plays well.
Yeah. And, like, I don't see any reason why he wouldn't play well. Like, he should have better, like, a more developed defensive line around him. The defense itself should be better. I think he only stands to lose if he holds out. I just think that would be a dumb move on his end.
Yeah, and I don't think, unlike the Niners with Bosa last year, who's better than him, and unlike the Chiefs with Chris Jones, who's also better than him, I don't think the Eagles would blink. I think he'd be the one that'd have to blink. Like last year, eventually the Chiefs blinked because they had to play a game without Chris Jones, and the Niners blinked because what were they going to do with Bosa?
Yeah.
I don't think Howie's going to blink. Well, you're right. He would just lose money and eventually show back up.
Right, and I don't think the Eagles are averse to, like you said, I mean, they wouldn't blink because they've done this before. They've had guys come in and play on their final year of their deal. Like, guys that I think they really, like, hasn't Fletcher Cox played on the final year
of
his deal before?
Brandon
Graham did when he was younger.
Wanted money his last year here. They didn't pay him.
And these were guys that the Eagles obviously valued to a great deal. So, like, I don't think this means Eagles don't value him, but I think they're willing to sort of call his bluff in a way, is what I've been saying from the beginning. Call his bluff, and they're doing it. And, I mean, if this turns out in a way that works out where Reddick's – I think, honestly, Reddick playing out on the final year of his deal as it stands is the best-case scenario for the Eagles.
I think we're 4 weeks away from a resolution here. If they get through the draft and he's still on the roster, he's probably going to be here. But the draft feels like the spot. I mean, that's the time for someone to say, all right, we didn't get a pass rush from the draft. This guy was taken. We need a guy. And that's probably when the Reddick deal happens. Let's get back to the phone lines here. 215-592-949 for your take on the Reddick tweet by D-Gun. Do you think he holds out, or is he just going to play on the money they have him under contract for? And, of course, the Phillies, get on the record. Your win total, Hugh's at 94.
94.
Which is perfect for WIP. Kyle's at 100 on the nose. I was thinking 95 all week. I heard Howard say 107 yesterday. I thought he was a total dope. I mean, he is a total dope. But it got me thinking that 100 is not out of the realm of possibility. And this is a 100-win roster. Is this a 100-win team? 215-592-9494. Do we also have something here from our good buddy Topper?
So I have a couple bits of Phillies news here. One of them related to Orion Kerkering.
Mm-hmm.
This was tweeted from Matt Gelb. So Phillies used a quote-unquote right forearm strain designation to put Kerkering on the IL. Thompson said nothing has changed. He was actually up to 98 in a minors game yesterday, throwing 98 miles per hour on his throws. That's high velocity for a guy who supposedly has a right forearm strain.
So basically
strain.
They're just using it to like, as a...
I guess just a placeholder thing there. And they say he's expected to return April 9th and is going to pitch in AAA this weekend.
Okay.
Doesn't seem like anything to worry about.
Yeah, I guess it's just an odd designation then. Like, what's the point of... Can't you just say flu? Can you just say, I don't know, weakness? I guess you have to make up an injury. That's a little bizarre. Or what's the other thing?
Yeah, the other thing is I'm going to declare victory for the show here.
We got to win?
Bob Thompson just named Kyle Schwarber the leadoff hitter on opening day, baby. Everybody weep.
As if there was any doubt, Hugh. Our guy.
No, we knew that was happening.
I think everyone knew it. People just want to fight it. Schwarber, the leadoff hitter.
I just like how like sitting here next to you, like people are like every time they hear his name in the leadoff spot, they are thoroughly irritated, like thoroughly irritated.
Well, I saw some people this morning saying that this could be a 100-win team if Schwarber wasn't in leadoff, as if he's costing them 10 games a year in the spot he hits in the lineup. Now, this is the right way to do it. We'll see what the full lineup is tomorrow. I anticipate Schwarber, Turner, Harper, 1-2-3. That's the best way to set up this lineup. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Tom in Middletown. Hey, Tom.
Hey, what's up, guys? How are you today?
Good, Tom. What are you feeling?
Man, I had that Pat Beryl thing nailed.
Oh, did you?
Yes, sir. But anyway, I want to talk about the Eagles now. We've got to give Reddick a bump. Just give him something to keep him happy this year. Because I'm telling you, if with Huff on the other side and Reddick, and if we have Fangio that doesn't drop him back into coverage, for God's sakes, and you, to quote you, let the dog hunt. That dude can just hunt if you just let him go. Okay? Don't drop him back into coverages and stuff like that. But just let him go. He's going to be playing on a contract year. You're going to get the most out of him because he's going to want the best contract that he could get next year.
Yeah, but he'd be
so
over.
I can just satisfy him a little bit. We got the money to do it. Let's keep him happy. Our defense sucked last year. We have a chance now to maybe solidify it a little bit.
Well, and Tom, they have the money to do what you're saying. I mean, the Eagles still have a good amount of cap room. I mean, they could give him a little bump in his salary, hopefully make him feel a little bit, you know, happier heading into the season, and still have plenty of cap room. It's not like they're up against it. Howie's got plenty of money to work with, and yet it seems like they don't want to do it, Tom.
Yeah, but I don't understand. Why would you do that? Like, with God, we need so much help on defense. If we could solidify the corners, we're strong on the interior line. I mean, we're stacked, and we got a lot of beef up there. Let's get some outside rush. We need linebacker help, yes. We need safety help, yes. But at least keep Reddick here. He's already here. We know what he could do, and put him in a scheme that works for him. And you know, why drop him back into coverage? He's not that kind of guy. He needs to go on the hunt.
It was a total waste of time. Every time they did it, Tom, he looked like he was out of place, didn't want to be, you know, dropping back anyway. And yeah, I mean, it's a waste of having a player like that and not using him the right way. Tom, what's your Phillies win total? We got.
I'll tell you what, we are going to fall just short of 100. We're going to win 99 games.
99. And what a big, major disappointment, Tom. Pessimism. No, Tom, I'm just kidding. 99 would be an enormous season. It is. If they are over 95, that's the number for me to win the division is around 95. Anything less, I think it's hard to think the Braves will go that far backwards. 95, 96, that feels like
94.
94 wins the division?
I think so. You're talking about a team in the Braves. Man, they hit 300. They hit like 300 plus home runs last year.
Yeah, they do have a lot of those guys back though.
Yeah, but it's with them crying about the way that the season went. And if I do recall, they had the power outage at the worst.
They did.
The absolute worst time you could have a power outage. No, I don't think it's going to be like that, man. I think it's going to be a little bit closer. I think they come a little bit back to earth a little bit.
Oh, I agree with that.
A little bit closer to earth.
Yeah, they won 104 last year. I could see the Braves taking a 10-game drop back to 94, and if the Phillies could win 95, that's it. There's your division title. David is in Westchester. Hey, David.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, David.
I'd like to apologize to Hugh for making him feel bad yesterday about his Hugh's clues. Sorry, Hugh.
But listen, didn't I make it better, David?
No,
I made
yeah.
it better.
Hugh, you stepped up to the plate today.
I am a fan of the people, David, and if you have an issue with the way – I mean, because I did think about it. They were kind of, like, super vague.
Oh, you they know. Were horrible. Today was great.
I mean, I appreciate you calling him horrible, but apologizing at the same time.
David, you should have seen Hugh in the meeting where we're going over the whole show, and all he's thinking about is this first clue. Like, that's he's just locked in to fix it for you, David.
Well, you're welcome for making the show better. Now, you guys are being homers here with this 100-win season. I'm sorry, and I'm a homer. Don't get me wrong. I was the idiot who went out and bought, you know, more tickets when Aaron Nola pitched the first spring training game. So, you know, I'm there with you, but unfortunately you're wrong. With Taiwan Walker going down, and he wasn't a great end of the thing anyway, but he did win you 15 games last year. So you got to replace those 15 games with everything else being the same. And I don't think Turnbull or Sanchez is the answer. Every time Sanchez, he's got all the talent in the world, but anytime he's in a leverage situation, they just yank him. So you don't know what you're getting with him. You're getting a lot of strikeouts. You're getting a lot of good stuff, but you have no idea just because they didn't let him go. They didn't cut him loose last year. They held him back. And with Spencer Turnbull, he stole Greg Luzinski's nickname, and he stole McCutcheon's number. He can't wear 22. I got a McCutcheon jersey. I wore that down there, and I'm going to be embarrassed because now it's a Turnbull.
You know what? You don't have to be embarrassed wearing McCutcheon. I was a big Andrew McCutcheon guy. I love McCutcheon.
I still am, yeah, as far as that goes.
So, all right, let me – here's what I'll say about Walker. He did win 15 games, but, like, he was on the mound for 15 wins. I don't look at it like they have to replace that. They just need to get a decent outing, you know, and the offense will carry the day a lot. I'm not worried about Sanchez. I think he can handle a little bit more responsibility. David, Turnbull's a complete – we'll see. I mean, I have no idea. He hasn't pitched in the big leagues in a couple of years because of injuries. He threw the ball well in spring training, but they also have more guys. I mean, I think Mick Abel, who's a former first-round pick, could be here sooner than later. So if they need to replace Walker for longer, I think they'll figure it out.
Yeah, they should have signed Montgomery.
I agree. So what's your win total? What number you have?
I'm just going to do the basic public school math. And so if you're looking at your baseline is right around 100. So if you take those 15 Walker games away that you have to replace, I'm going like, let's say 115, 85. So I'm going 87.
I'm pretty good at math.
87, 85. I don't love those numbers, David. All right, David, we appreciate your phone call. Here's what I'll say about the 85 or 87. Hugh, I think the National League just as a whole got a little bit better. Mm-hmm. Remember last year the Marlins made it and they had like 83, 84 wins? If the Phillies or anybody else is under 90 wins, I don't think that's a lock for the playoffs. I think you got to be 88 or more to be sure you're in. So any of these 87 predictions, that's dicey.
Yeah, but I think with those predictions that everybody's going to be kind of closely lumped together this year, especially this year. Like I said, because I don't think the Braves are going to be that great as far as winning. Like, they're going to win a lot of games, but I think the Phillies are going to be right there. So that's not a bad place to be, I would think.
I don't want to be in the scrum. I want to be above the scrum.
I think you're going to be above the scrum, but you're going to still be in the general area. If you get my drift and what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I do think a lot of the NL teams that were not competitive last year, they got better. I mean, the Giants got better.
As progression goes.
Well, and teams tried. I mean, the Diamondbacks made the world – obviously, they beat the Phillies. They got Jordan Montgomery 2 days ago. So more of these teams are trying, which it puts more onus on the Phillies to not, you know, screw around the first 2 months. Tally is up next on WIP. Hey, Tally.
Hey, listen, I got advice for Hugh. Yes. As a straight dude, oh, don't take this the wrong way. But listen, here's my thing. I think you need a little luck, Hugh. You say you're looking for a shorty, and you say you're looking for a house, and you're having a hard time. I see you on TV, Hugh. My thing is either darken it or get rid of the beard, man. Try your luck. Change your luck, man. Go back to your – look at the old pictures where you were playing, and you had that hot Mercedes. You know what I mean? What's up, baby?
I'm not putting the Beijing in my beard. I'm not doing Trey Thomas.
Get rid of it.
That's what Trey Thomas does, man. And I know he sits here all the time and he talks about he doesn't dye his beard. I earn these grades.
Yeah, but Trey's got to
be on camera for his wine show.
Trey's about 100,000 pounds bigger than you. You can't compare yourself to him. Are you nuts?
Telly, I'm not dying my beard.
No, listen, you probably won't. I was just wanting to suggest, but listen, I'm warning you, Hugh, about this Hassan Reddick. How do you, $15 million? Are you kidding me? I make $31 an hour to drive a bus, and he's crying over $50. Take the $7 million that they want to give you and run with it.
Telly, $31 an hour, like, and you're working probably 5 hours a day. That's a win. That is a win.
That's what I'm – listen, this dude is nuts. 16 weeks, $22 million. Is he crazy? But listen, if he plays out the year, right, if he just – he should have went to Howie on the side. He should have never made this public. I would have went to Howie on the side. Listen, big dog, you see what I've done? You got to take care of your boy. That's it.
Yeah, you know what? Maybe he did tally and it didn't work, and that's why he went public. But
Hey, listen, he signed a contract 3 years ago.
I agree. Mean, listen, if it was me, I would say this is it. This is when practice starts.
You don't know. He making brothers look bad, man. You signed something and it changed your mind? Buying a car, a lot, say down the street. Yo, I could have got you the same car for $35,000. Oh, let me take it back. Nobody going to give you your money back. You signed it.
What the bus driver benefits look like, man? That sounds like that's a pretty good gig, though.
Is that next?
Actor, football player, radio host. Like, when I look at, like, construction workers and people like that make the kind of money you're making, I always wonder what the benefits look like, because those sound like some pretty good benefits. You always got to look ahead, Joe. You never know. And I mean, and plus, it don't seem like I could drive a bus. I just got to get my CDL.
I think you could pull that off.
I could be a bus driver.
Dude, Herb can drive a bus. Like,
well, that's true.
The way you said it.
I mean, it's true. I mean, it's not.
I'm just saying, those sound like some good benefits.
I'm sure it is. I'm just wondering when you're dyeing your beard.
I'm not dyeing my beard. I'm not doing that.
215-592-9494. We'll get to all your phone calls. Phillies win total.
We'll revisit that.
Get a woman?
What is
dye my beard to get a woman?
What's your number?
No, to support the Phillies. You might have to dye your beard when you throw out the first pitch.
Oh, yeah.
I'm definitely not dyeing my
beard. Win total for the Phillies. Your take on this Reddick situation. 215-592-9494. Plus, you know what's next. The Daily Mock at 1 o'clock. Who are the Eagles projected to take at 22? We'll hit it next on Sports Radio 94.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.